tonight I want to talk about the sanctity of life. And that's a subject today that I think is pretty important, because there's people in the world today that if you don't believe the way they believe, they would be willing to kill you right now. Christians, for example, and the things we teach, there's plenty of people out there that you don't believe the way I believe, you should die. That's the feeling of people today, but a lot of people today, I should say. But I think Scripture, and I'm only barely hitting the surface tonight where Scripture talks about this subject, but I'll go ahead and open up in a word. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for your word. We pray that we might see you in it, and that we might get closer to you, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to us through your word. Thank you again for each one here and for the love we share. We pray this in your great name. Amen. All right, let's start out in Psalms chapter 8, and we're going to be reading verses, the whole chapter. We're going to read all 9 verses of Psalms chapter 8, and then we're going to go back, we're going to refer back from here to the Genesis, you know, 1 story, but because this has reference to it. But in verse 1, it says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. I will say on the note here, it says, the great subject of this psalm is the earth. It says, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. But I'd like to add that the earth was made for man. When God formed the earth, even before the overthrow, he knew about us. He already knew that we were in the picture, that man was in the picture. But how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. And whenever we think of thoughts like the God and creating man and what a special place we have in his purpose, that's what we think about, the enemy and the avenger. It's always satanic, anything to do with the destruction of man. And thinking that you're one man is better than another, that you can take another man's life in the first place. Then in verse 3, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. Again, that we see this in Genesis 1, and this is where he reformed it. He took the earth that was a desolation and formed it for man. And you can say, are you telling me that all of these billions and zillions of stars out there was all put in place for man? Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying all these things were part and parcel of his eternal purpose, and that man is a big part of it, and he created us for his special purposes. Verse 4, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Now this next few verses, 4 through 6, is quoted in Hebrews chapter 2, which we're also going to look at for one extra verse, but in verse 4, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Now, in this verse, there's a note by Bullinger. He says this refers to the first man, Adam, and that he lost this dominion in the fall. Which, and I have a question mark besides that in my Bible. I really don't understand the note, because even though we're going to read in Genesis 9, you know, man has dominion over the earth, you know, that he told Noah later. But earlier in verse 4, he talks about, what is man? In verse 4, he talks about this title, that is of man, relates to dominion in the earth. The son of man, it's a different word than Adam. So I don't understand though why he says Adam. I know he lost paradise, but maybe someone can offer something on that, because I don't understand how he lost dominion of the earth in the fall. He lost paradise, but not the earth. But either way, that's just something not to do with what I'm really talking about here tonight. But it says, thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Okay, so here we have a picture of angels, you know, for one thing. The angelic beings being a big part of his eternal purpose. But he created us a little lower than the angels. Yet, this all has to do with things before the mystery was revealed. Where our hope is in the heavenly places, there can be no, for sure nothing evil, no evil angelic beings which were cast out. But we say that these things apply to the kingdom. When we read about, you know, the angels and so forth, thou hast made us a little lower than the angels and all that. So, and we're going to get, I'm going to touch on that a little bit more as we go along. But let's go to Genesis 1. And in verse 1 it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, in the beginning of what? Actually, the definite article is not there. It's in beginning. But in Hebrew, whenever the definite article is there, it's implied. But in beginning, before God created man, God created the heavens and the earth. But we know in Ephesians 1:4 that he knew of us before the foundation of the world. Before verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. But, so that's why we say that, now we have, man is, if anything, more special now than even, you know, in these verses that we read in Psalms, if you look at it in that respect. But we're such a few handful of people, it's amazing how all of these truths are out there for the world. And even in Paul's time, he told Timothy, is it 1st or 2nd Timothy 1:15, that all those in Asia have left me. They have turned away from me. In other words, after he got the mystery, there was only a handful of people left. And when we had the kingdom message there in the book of Acts, there were still quite a few people with him, hundreds in fact. But let's go on down in verse 26 of chapter 1. And all these things, all of these, the first day, the second day, the stars also, all of these things. He prepared this place because of man. And in verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So here we see something that should speak to us right away about the sanctity of life itself, being created in the image of God, as we see here. So I say, in the beginning, you know, before God's dealing with man, but he knew that he was going to reform this earth for man. He knew of the special purpose that the mystery was going to play in all of this, because something was still missing until the mystery came along. Okay, now let's go to Hebrews chapter 2, and that'll be verses 5 and 6, where it says in verse 5, for unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him, and so forth. But if we kept reading, and if we got all the way down to verse 10, it would say, for it became him for whom all are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. In verse 11, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified. So these things were for man's sanctification. God put us here and he gave us the means of to being sanctified. And here we see that here in Hebrews, that's the whole purpose here, for man's sanctification. Okay, now I'm going to read a couple of verses, there's very few. I didn't pick too many, but just speaking on this same subject, the importance of man and our fellow man. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 9, and we're going to be reading the first 7 verses. Genesis chapter 9, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. So here it is. This flood took place in the year 1656. If Adam's was zero, if you start Adam at zero, and you know, he lived 130 years and so on, or 930 years, I mean. And God blessed Noah and said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, the same thing that he had commanded man from the beginning. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. So we're stewards, you might say, of this earth. And as good stewards, we want to, you know, cultivate things, you know, like the animals and whatever, things like that. But animals, God speaks to animals, and not in which we don't understand the way he speaks to them, but how, think about homing pigeons and how the dogs and cats find their way home. And I mean, it's endless how God speaks to animals. But he also speaks to them, and they, when they look at a man, they know that we have dominion over them, that we're superior in that respect. And the dread is on them, in that it says, the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon them. So in that respect, man is, has a purpose already. Verse 3, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. These are still true today. Just as the age of, when the age of Noah started, that's the age we're in right now. These things are still true today. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. Because the life is in the blood. And that's a theme that goes throughout scripture. The life being in the blood. And it's through Christ's blood that we have life. In verse 5, and surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man. At the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Showing his firm stand on it. Of, you know, I made man for a purpose here. Don't interfere with it. Verse 6. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. And you, be ye fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. So we see it here again to Noah, and again it's for sanctification. So God created man so we could, for sanctification. So I mean, the whole earth should hear these verses. A lot of people don't even know these verses in the Bible, but the whole world should know about these verses. I mean, if you think about how satanic even the thought of destroying a fellow man is, and of course, you know, by man, I mean mankind, woman and man, of course. But these are words that the whole world should hear and dwell on and think on. All right, now let's turn to Psalms 139, and we'll be reading verses 13 through 16. Where it says, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. The note here says, have woven me together. Thou hast woven me together in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Here the word for soul is nephesh. So another word to say that, and instead of putting my soul there, you could say I. And that I know right well, because I am a soul. My soul. I am a soul. I don't have a soul. And that I know it right well. My substance was not hid from thee. When I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And here he has a good note. It doesn't say imperfect, for God didn't create us imperfectly. He did a perfect job in his creation of us. But he purposely created us unperfect. But the creation itself was perfect. I like that note there. And he usually, his knowledge of Hebrew, it brings out a lot of these things. But yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. So that's true of all of us, how he made us wonderfully, purposefully, marvelously, and these things our soul knoweth right well. Okay, next we'll have Matthew 6:26. And it says, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? And this, with the context of verse 25, where he's saying, take no thought about, don't worry about, where your meat and your raiment and what, things for your body and so forth. He says, are you not more special than they? And not every time, but sometimes it's like I'll be praying for something to come along and it happens, just happens matter of factly. In fact, yesterday I was talking to Barney and told him that I'm still working on my notes for the lesson tomorrow night, and I've got like five things to do. Because this morning at about 5:30, some people showed up to put in my AC unit, and I was sweating the details of, I got to do this and I got to do that to get ready for them. But it all worked out perfect. I've got a new AC unit now in my house. So last year, as I say, the summer was brutal here in Phoenix, but hopefully this year it'll be a little more satisfying. I'm a little bit, aren't I a little better than they, the sparrows and so forth? I didn't doubt it, but it's amazing how, something will come up and I'll pray like, if you're well, I'll let these things all, and they, man, it was like clockwork, all of these things just worked out perfect. After, by the way, I got my meeting notes, I finally told myself that that's the biggest thing bugging me is to get these notes together. Once I got those together, that's when everything started falling in place. And that's what I need to do. And I'm honored to say that I'm going to be speaking at the South Carolina conference. And thank you, Ron and Lori, for that. My thing is, though, that I need to get my notes together, just a few days before the conference. So, as usual, we can all pray for each other, the speakers and those behind the scenes that are making all these things possible. Let's keep all that in prayer. And we're going to, you know, because we're a select few. There's very few of us left. When I was coming up 50 years ago, we went to a conference in California, and I'm telling you, there had to be 150 people there. And it's people I was introduced to. This is so-and-so. They go way back to, you know, the 1920s. And I mean, and now I don't know anybody, I don't think, in California that I can invite to the Phoenix Conference. Maybe one or two people. But not to have the standing that they used to. And that goes along again with this, all those in Asia thing have turned away. And we're, it seems like we're getting few. Welch one time said, we're never going to pack a stadium in our conferences. Now, I don't, Pete Redmond's the one that told me that. I don't know if he said that in one of his lessons or if he actually wrote that, but it's more true now, it seems, than ever, that we're never really going to pack a huge assembly, but yet we're special. God has put us here, and he has a purpose for us. Okay, now, along these same lines, I want to talk about the foundation of the world. And there's three places where we have before the foundation of the world. And in John 17, verses 22 to 24, John 17 says, "And the glory which thou gavest me, I have," this is the Lord talking to the Father. We call chapter 17 of John the Lord's Prayer. "And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, as thou hast loved me." So think about that. That he knows us and he loves us, you know, and he's talking to the Father here and speaking about his love. And it says in verse 24, "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may be behold my glory, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." So this is one of the three places where it talks about before the foundation of the world. Three times. And seven times, and before is pro, and after is apo. Seven times you have apo. The foundation of the world, which has to do with the kingdom. But now let's turn to 1 Peter 1:18 through 21. It says, "For as much as ye know," this is verse 18, 1 Peter, "for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers." Did you see that going on anywhere today? Is there any churches, you know, say that have popes or leaders or whatever? And your redemption is through them, through corruptible things of silver and gold. And he's talking here about the tradition of your fathers. And, you know, it was as true then as it is now. There's nothing new. Verse 19, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. So here we have another case which came after, you know, after Christ said that, then Peter said it before the four foundation of the world. But you can see it was for a purpose, and man was in that purpose. So he did that for us, that we would be foreordained and so forth, that we would be ordained for him. Then we have Ephesians 1:4. And this, of course, Paul came even later. This was the third occurrence. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So that gives us more meaning in this world. Now, there can be nothing better than that, you know, for a believer to see these things. And, you know, he's entrusted us with these truths, and that's why we keep carrying them on. But I want to turn to Appendix 146, and the name of that appendix is The Foundation of the World. And on the second column, about halfway down, it says, the disruption of the world is an event forming a great dividing line in the dispensation of the ages. In Genesis 1:1, we have the founding of the world. Then he quotes Hebrews 1:10. Actually, I'm going to read that verse real quick as an intermezzo here. Hebrews, hold on here real quick. Hebrews 1:10 says, and thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth. Here he laid it, the foundation. It wasn't an overthrow. It was the casting of it. In the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. So that's the verse he just referred to, for Tamilio, but in Genesis 1:2, we have its overthrow. This is confirmed by a further remarkable fact, that the phrase which occurs 10 times is associated with the preposition apo, from, 7 times, and with pro, before, 3 times, which we read. We just read those 3. The former refers to the kingdom and is connected with the counsels of God. The latter refers to the mystery or secret and is connected with the purpose of God. So that goes along with what we've been saying earlier today. So just to follow that thought, I'll turn to Colossians chapter 3, and we'll end up in two passages. First, I'll read verses 1 through 4. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, see if those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. You know, I have a to-do list, and I've never been really good at finishing them, but a few months back I made a to-do list, and I made it in 2 parts. One was things above, you know, things relating to things above on my to-do list, and part 2 was things on this earth. And you know, I can easily list 50 items. I got to cross one of them off today with my air conditioning unit, but anyway, that actually helped me to start getting things, more things done when I differentiated the things above and things on earth. But verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, or when he shall be manifested, when he shall be brought to light, then shall ye also be manifested, or ye shall also appear with him in glory. So that's what we call the manifestation, something we look forward to. Now I'm going to read in conclusion verses 12 through 16 of Colossians chapter 3. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And also, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So with these thoughts in mind, it's, mind-boggling how the earth can be in the condition it is in, but we know that it's been that way from the beginning, and that that's part of the God's plans and purposes for us today. That I'll close in a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this day again. Thank you for your goodness, for your majesty, for what you've done in our lives. Thank you for each one that have listened to learn more about you, Lord, that we might get to trust you more. And we just thank you. Help anyone in need tonight, Lord. Thank you for the upcoming conference. We pray that your hand will be on that. All the travel, people traveling, all the speakers, and all those doing the work behind the scenes, Lord. Give us all a working spirit, and that to your glory these things might come about. We pray these things in your great name. Amen.